I really wish I did.
In years past, you have surprised me. Often. And it's because you have a 20-minute drive over here, and you think about how to surprise me
when we start. No surprises this time. No surprises.
Hey, this is Walleye Talk. I'm Dan Ryan.
I'm Will Neuer.
This is a walleye fishing podcast. We do an episode every 2 years.
We're biannually.
And today is the day.
Today is the day. We're very thankful to those who are going to listen to this. I know lots of people have reached out. Worried sick about
this. Oh, yeah. They thought we either those two broke up, they hate each other, or they're not guiding anymore.
Man, can't catch a walleye. That would be just a travesty.
Yep. The opposite is true. We're best of friends.
Still best of friends.
Maybe better friends.
I don't know.
But we don't get to hang out as much.
But maybe distance makes the heart grow fonder.
Absolutely. Right. I just about hugged you when you walked in here.
Icky nasty. I saw you like 3 days ago. No, I didn't. But yeah. It's different running, we have to talk in passing or talking over the phone. It's nice just to sit down, enjoy some trail mix with you.
Yep.
And let's talk about some walleye fishing history.
In the Leech Lake area.
Oh, man.
If you're a first-time listener, we used to do this every week. And we would talk about walleye fishing and the ups and downs of guiding for walleye fishing. Yeah. And just fishing in general in the Leech Lake area. We fish.
Talk an awful lot about weather.
Yeah.
For guys who know nothing about weather.
Mm-hmm.
We talk way too much about
it. We both have come to this conclusion that we really don't know weather related, when they're going to bite and when they're not going to bite,
Yeah.
We know something goofy's going to happen where they're going to bite like crazy and then they're not going to bite. Right. But in that 24-hour period where those two things occur, we have no idea.
No idea.
Sometimes you're out there thinking, well, we're going to womp on them.
Nope. Nope.
Today is one of them. There's
should have whooped on them today.
Yep.
But
not so much.
Not so much.
I just don't even, the longer I do this, I'm like, God, I just don't want anything goofy. No goofy weather. I don't want the peaks and valleys. Just stable. That's not the way it goes, though.
No. You got no control over that.
Mm-mm. So we're two guides in the Leech Lake area. We do half our work on Leech and half our work on the smaller lakes around Longville.
Both run 2090s.
Warrior 2090s.
With Suzuki's.
That's true.
Are you loving every minute of it?
Absolutely.
Me too.
There's more and more of them too. My buddy Luke Adelman just bought
a
2016 with a 250 Suzuki.
With a 250?
Mm-hmm.
Woo.
He had to one-up us.
That's
50 up us.
Unbelievable.
And then another guy on Woman Lake, I can't remember his name now, he's got this sweet looking 1890.
Is it that blue one?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. He had
a girl.
He had it last year, I believe. Last fall he had it.
No, different boat then.
Oh.
This guy just got it a couple weeks ago.
Nice.
But yeah, we're Taylor guys through and through. You talked about buying a wheelboat like four
so
years ago.
So have you.
Not in public.
Yeah, but I don't hold you to it.
That's true.
Because I understand. You've got to at least consider things. Otherwise, you're just...
Look at you being all open-minded.
When have I ever been closed-minded?
This episode is going to be a weird one. We're going to talk about what's happened. The last episode we did was before opener May of 2022.
Yep.
And we got a little too busy raising the youngins.
Yeah, so the day after we did that podcast,
mm-hmm.
my wife had a baby.
The day after?
The day after. So we did the podcast. That next morning, 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, we were in the hospital.
Wow, I didn't know it was that quick.
It was that quick. So obviously I named our youngest son Walleye Talk.
So yeah, not promising anything. We're going to just do a fun episode right now and maybe we'll do another one. Maybe we won't. Hopefully this is good times for those of you who've listened before and maybe insightful for some of you who haven't listened in the past. We don't have any sponsors. We just got all these little businesses around Longville that support us.
We're going to shamelessly plug the hell out of them.
Yeah. And Port-A-Dock, we have no connection to Port-A-Dock, but I have a hard time not putting the song in there. So I think
let's do it for old time's sake.
Yeah. So you're going to listen to a nice little jingle, and then we'll get talking.
Having fun in the sun on the lake all day long. Porta-Doc.com. Porta-Doc.com. Find your local Porta-Doc dealer today. Porta-Doc.com.
So since May 2022, have you learned anything? Have you gotten any better?
I think so. It's hard. It's very hard to know. But yes, I certainly do things a lot different. Like the a statistic that pops out is this year, it's the end of June when we're recording, and I've caught 3 fish on a Lindy rig since we're, 6 weeks into the season? Lindy rigs, especially for guides, have been staples.
For right? sure.
I've got like 2 rod lockers that are like the easily accessible rod lockers in my boat. And since I have started guiding, there's like the jigging rod locker and the rigging rod locker. Mm-hmm. And those are like 1-2 almost, or they were 1-2 most of the year. And it's not the case anymore. Things are different.
Well, what replaced the Lindy rig rods?
Bobbers.
Bobbers.
Yep.
Of all things, bobbers.
Yep. And you, if you've listened to the podcast, this is not like new as of last year.
No.
I think I felt, well, bobbers have been around a long time. But I've been fishing bobbers regularly for 6 years, maybe. This is your, like, first year diving into the bobbers.
I did it a little last year. But, yeah, this is... I start every pot out now with bobbers. Mm-hmm. Every fresh pot I see gets bobbers on them.
Mm-hmm.
But me and my infinite patience, I'll give them 5 to 7 minutes.
Sure.
And then I'm done with it. Really? Till the next pod.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, it's a good way to deliver bait, and it's a great, well, it's just a great way to catch them. You know, every
any skill set can do it.
Yes, but so can the, if every tournament, if you walk by
for
the
sure.
tournament boats, everybody's got a bobber rod ready
for sure.
to go. Yeah, it's just a very convenient, targeted way to get bait in front of fish in a lot of different depths and a lot of different conditions. It's pretty dynamic. Right.
Absolutely it is. The big thing that I think I've learned about bobbers is you don't have to have shallow fish to do it. You can do it out deep, and you can do it in the wind. You can do it. It can work.
Mm-hmm.
You can make it work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the easier days are obviously the calmer days, but in those rough conditions, sometimes they still just want a bobber.
Yep. I've used the excuse, and I think there's some truth to it, that if it's really blowing, they don't get bit as good. Because I've always thought that bait probably looks pretty funky down there.
Right.
Moving up and down in a couple footers, right? But they still do go down. I don't know what a better option is necessarily.
I don't think going over them is a great option a lot. So I'll let you finish on how you're, what else did you have you learned in the last 18 months?
I just don't like putting the boat over the top of fish very much anymore. If you're able to do it and it works, you're like, that's a real luxury as a fisherman, and specifically as a guide. If the fish will tolerate the boat going over them and then bite, it's pretty nice.
It's really nice.
It seems like it happens less now, but
we also didn't have that option previous to last year.
What do you mean?
Of making sure our baits are over fish without the boat being over them.
Right. Yeah. I mean, side imaging has been able... We've been able to do that with side imaging for a while, but now we both have forward-facing sonar, and that's probably the biggest change.
Yep.
And what I... What, like, the most interesting thing, or, like, the best example of this is we've been fishing these 20-foot humps we usually do in, like, early and mid-June. And with live imaging, you can see what the fish do when you go over them.
Right.
And they, even in 20 feet of water, don't seem to really like you going over them.
Well, you can... So I've noticed it more pulling spinners, because I pull spinners in reverse with my big motor.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that for a couple reasons, but as a result of that, going over a pod of fish that hasn't been driven over, I watch those fish go from 6 feet up, and they'll go down on my sonar down to a foot off bottom. Mm-hmm. In that, you know, 3 seconds that my sonar is reading them.
Right.
I watch them, you know, they're not the perfect ducks. They're a downward roller coaster going straight down.
Yep.
And that's something that's really interesting. And that has to have that has to be the case everywhere, you would think.
Yeah. You mean everywhere on leech?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And I don't know if that'll be, if it'll change on the smaller lakes or not. It's sort of a weird thing to try to figure out because it's like we know more about their behavior now because of our sonar or, you know, because of the technology. So, like, maybe this stuff has been happening in years past.
Right.
And we just, like, are more aware of it now. Or their behavior is changing. And if you talk to, like, the guide community, their behavior is changing. So,
but everyone's progressing the same way we are with their technologies.
Yeah. If anything, there's some guides. There's certainly some guides who are ahead of us.
Without question.
And there are some behind us, probably.
Right.
Yeah, they don't like being over them. The other thing that, like, I've thought about with, like, what we've been doing the last month is when they're grouped up, right, they're, like, these groups are pretty tight together. I don't think I think it just, like, disrupts them when you pull one out of there. They, like, freak out.
Yeah, right?
They all freak out.
And they don't you'll notice that they don't just move 3 feet. They'll move 40 feet. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, gotta get moving.
So what?
But even after those moves, a lot of times you'll get more bites out of them.
Yeah.
Even after that big shift, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe that's just the school rotating, you know? Yeah,
that's the hard thing to, like, to decide or to figure out is, like, are you impacting them or are they just, like, their own, you know, like, conscious being that's doing, they just do shit, right? Like, they right. move around. They don't right. stay put. So, like, it's maybe not all us. It's, like, just what they're doing.
But I think pulling a 19-incher out of there doesn't help.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they can't like that.
I imagine the first couple head shakes are the most vicious head shakes. Mm-hmm. So when they do that right around their buddies, it makes sense that the group might be like, oh, I'm going to move a little bit.
Adrian!
Yeah. How about you? What are some, like, noticeable differences over the last 13 months?
I've noticed I really have enjoyed pulling spinners in certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really like that.
Yeah.
You've
had a couple real good spinner bites that I've been, like, jealous of.
Yeah, and part of that's just, it's all location, right? Yeah. It's not like you can't do that other places. It's just the bottom types and the areas I'm doing it are easier.
They're set up for spinners.
They're set up great for spinners. Mm-hmm. So I started doing this last summer, pulling him in reverse, and I'll turn my vantage on to slow me down. I'll put that the opposite direction and just so my speed's right. And I really like that. Because then I'm not manually spinning the live transducer all the time. But what I'll do, I'll see them on my side image, and I'm just able to turn 90 degrees and go right over them.
Sure.
And I've had really great success doing that.
That's interesting. You haven't told me that. I wonder if...
I've tried telling you that a million times.
Well, I don't like to listen to you.
Right? I know you don't. I wonder if Will Newer, the spinner pro.
Well, then you're also like approaching fish with like a turning spinner all the time, like a bending spinner, which is like generally a pretty good way to get a fish to bite a spinner.
Right. Cause you're changing, you have three inconsistent speeds.
Right.
So if you have three people in the boat, you've got three inconsistent speeds. One of those spinners is going to get bit.
Sure.
Not almost all the time, but a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And I'm in some pretty cool areas where I could see them on my side image. You know, they're mm-hmm. sitting in sand and 20 feet of water.
Right.
And it's just been a lot of... It's fun for the boat driver to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, it's like clockwork. If I see the right pot of fish, I'm like, we're going to get a bite or two out of this. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, we'll get a bite or two out of it.
Yep.
And doesn't mean there's fish in the boat, but that's been really fun for me. And I see the distinct advantage is in transducer positioning and also in line positioning. So if I'm pulling them forward with the bow mount and I see those fish, now I can make that turn, but my baits are 35 feet past them or 40 feet past them already.
Right.
And you don't have that ability to turn 90 degrees on the bow mount. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can do it, but your baits look terrible.
Yep. Where if you do that, you're going to have a bait near the prop of your big motor and all sorts of logistical issues with that.
Right. Hmm. But doing it backwards seems to help.
Interesting.
And I've had great success with that, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. We should also just point out that it's like June 24th or something.
Yeah.
Yep. So like we're talking to you before our, like at the end of the traditional end of our best 6 weeks of the mm-hmm. summer, right? Like we're entering a more complicated time, and I kind of look forward to the complicated time right now.
Well, because there's a lot of room to grow.
Yeah. And it sort of forces you to do some new things. The Leech Lake is in great shape.
Yeah. Like, and if you talk to people this spring, there was big doom gloom mentalities, especially from those West Side guys. Mm-hmm. Oh, they need to, you talk to Big Steve this spring. Oh, they need to stock this lake. Well, Steve's having one of the best years of his career.
Sure.
So it's, Leech is for sure in great shape, and the size structure is at a place it hasn't been in a very long time.
No, I agree. We're seeing all kinds of kinds out there. We're probably missing some like 24s and 25s compared to 5 years ago. Like
without a doubt.
But we're catching lots more keepers, and the keepers even on the east side, you're seeing lots of different year classes.
Right.
Like I think you just gotta maybe embrace this as like, we have a really good walleye fishery around right now.
And it's going to continue for another couple years anyway.
I think so. Yep. And, you know, talk to me in 2 weeks, I'll be like, there's no walleyes on there. There very clearly is a bunch, and I think we're in good shape there. But yeah, like when we're running our programs right, the fish are real cooperative up until right now.
Right.
And that'll change, but...
Well, even last year, though, I had a real good stretch, even on Leech, even through July.
Yep.
And I don't know if that'll happen this year because I started beating on those fish earlier. So that might change a thing or two, but we haven't even done our weed program yet.
Yep.
And I know there's a bunch of fish up there.
Yep.
And
you learn something new every year, you know, if you take the time to learn something new.
Yeah.
So, filling in the gaps, so hopefully it's not as doom and gloom. I'm going to be just a great crankbait fisherman by the end of August.
Good for you.
That's my plan.
I always had great ambitions to do it, and I never did it. And it's something that is for sure missing out of my program.
Yeah.
And it's something I need to do. I don't need to do it, but I really should do it. But,
yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good way to fill in that at least probably like 3 or 4 weeks near the end of July and into August.
Yep.
And at least for like where we fish, you know, we launch out of Pikedale most of the time. And
one of the greatest places to launch.
Yeah. It's a great place to do I bring my kids there all the time.
If I could talk to 16-year-old me, I would tell 16-year-old me, go get a job at Pikedale Lodge.
Oh, yeah. Dude,
great. Get in with the family. Why did I wait so long?
I don't know. I don't know. You could have married in.
I should have. Tori would have been mad, you know, because I stole Sally from him. I'd have come swooping right in.
I get to fish with those guys on Tuesday.
You're a very fortunate fellow.
I'm excited. Yep. Yeah, Leech Lake's in great shape. We're at the end of the, like, real good springtime fishing. The mayflies have held off a little bit. Well, they have.
They for sure have. They should be hatching 3 days ago.
Yeah.
But it's coming.
It's coming, for sure. I don't think there's a year where it doesn't come for
us. That's a scary year if that happens.
I don't want to see that. I'll struggle guiding over not having mayflies show up.
Pretty that important. That is a giant food source that they need.
Yeah.
That'll be gone, you know, right, if that happens, which I don't think it'll ever happen. Mayflies still hatch in Europe, so zebra mussels don't really kill those things. Yeah. So.
Should we take a break and talk a little bit more about the 2022
season?
There's too much to cover from 2022.
Well, let's just cover let's give the people what they want. People love a competition. You look at as far back as the gladiators. All people want is competition.
Okay.
Let's just talk about competition. But before we do that, I want to shamelessly plug one of our local businesses.
Okay.
I was there like for 10 days straight and they were nothing but super kind to me. I'm going to plug another resort on Leech Lake. If you're not going to Pikedale, go to Sugar Point Resort. Those people are top notch. And boy, do they love me. No, and I love them too. They're just kind. They're big, warm-hearted people. And I shamelessly want to plug them.
Yeah.
So if you gotta, if you're gonna stay on Sugar Point Resort, write this, or if you're gonna stay on Leech Lake, write this down. Pikedale, Sugar Point Resort. That's it.
Sugar Point has like beautiful property.
100%.
It is some of the best shoreline on the lake, in my opinion.
I'm a little biased because I really, really like catching walleyes in front of there too.
Right in front, like literally right in front of
the in front of their harbor.
Yeah,
there's a little patch of sand. There's one tire and a patch of sand. All right, there. If there's walleyes in there, Will Neuer is going to be there.
That's too good of a tip. The tire.
Oh, sorry. Maybe we'll have to cut that out.
Yeah, it's pretty, and you get, you know, the good thing about that location is you can, like, realistically do Portage, like, all of Portage Bay stuff, mm-hmm. and you can do Bear Island stuff.
Right.
When at Pikedale, you get, like, the south, I mean, you can go wherever you want, but realistically, on a fishing trip, you gotta, like, cut your drive time down a little bit.
Right. It's so, 5 miles is your first stop of the day if you're gonna do it, yeah. and you're fishing your way back.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Like, we're going a long way from home, especially on a four-hour trip. That's about as far as I would go.
Yeah, unless it's summertime and we're going up 2 points.
Yep.
Which is another 3 miles.
Yeah.
It's a long drive.
It's a long drive. So.
And we're going to commit to it.
Mm-hmm. Going all in.
Going all in.
I've been up there and it has not worked.
Was that last year when you were pulling spinners?
I've done it a couple times.
And you were like, get the net, get the net. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
And it was a giant bluegill.
I don't remember this. I've blocked it out.
I remember you telling me. You're like, I felt so stupid. You know, I'm like, oh yeah, nice walleye, nice walleye. And you're like, man, and we had a tough day. I was really churching it up. You know, oh, that's a good eater.
Oh, yes, now it's ringing a bell.
And here's a bluegill out like in the middle of a musky heaven.
1.5-inch bluegill. They're big flatfish, man. They pull sideways.
You know, people say that smallmouth are the best pound frown fighters. Mm-hmm. That's a bull-faced
line. You're right.
Then bluegills. You're right. You get a 9-inch bluegill and you're like, whoa, mm-hmm. what do we have here? Right. Especially if you're not expecting it.
So 2022 was a pretty good fishing year in general. It was distinctly different. The things that like stick out in my mind were that the early fall was, August was hard for us last year.
It got hot,
but we also didn't really have a great answer for why it was hard.
Yeah, so like our traditional August lakes were tough.
Yeah.
And that's what killed us.
Yeah.
Right? So we have like three go-tos mm-hmm. in August.
Mm-hmm.
They all sucked.
Yeah. Yeah. And like Woman Lake is one of them. Woman Lake is like usually a pretty great late summer lake in yeah. general, and the crappie fishing was still great out there yeah. last year, but in the past 3 or 4 years, like you and I would get going on the walleye thing in like early August out there,
and we'd spend all month there.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a couple other little ones, but the walleye fishing in August was not that great.
No.
And even early September it was not that great,
even through up until the MWC it was not great.
Yeah.
And that's out of the norm.
Yep.
But we had zero cool weather. In fact, we warmed up from the beginning of September till the MWC.
Right. And, the fish were there. They just mm-hmm. like, they were just not very cooperative.
Now, maybe going, now that we have learned some stuff, maybe going in there and bobber fishing would help.
Maybe, but there, a lot of them are break line fish that time of year.
Right.
Like pretty sharp break lines, which...
But I don't know if you notice this, but a lot of times those fish don't want that thing dangling in their face.
No, they want to come up.
Yeah, so is 8 feet too much in a clear body?
I don't know. It's a great question.
Maybe. We'll find out this fall. We'll find out.
Just set it at 10 and keep it.
Yeah,
doesn't
right.
matter if we're fishing 11 or 30.
Yeah, right. So we'll see. I know it'll take some adjusting, but maybe that'll help us. Maybe that'll help us a lot.
Yeah, it certainly could.
But that being said, it's going to help everyone else too. So we'll have to figure out another competitive advantage.
Just got to keep up with the Joneses. You know, the like Woman Lake is in great shape by the numbers. This spring, people were grumbling about it, but there's plenty of walleyes out there. It's funny to like you. I really think these days, if you're using like modern technology, you can separate like how good the outcome of your day is from how good the fishery is. You know what I mean? Like,
you're over.
There are a pile of walleyes out there.
Right.
If I can't catch them, that's like on me. But like the lake has plenty of fish in it. And I really think that's the case for most of our fisheries in the Longville area right
now. They've been well taken care of.
I think so.
They've been very well taken care of. And I don't want to, you know, toot Doug's horn, but Doug did a pretty okay job of doing his job.
Yep. I talked to him and he said, I said that. I'm like, dude, we're in pretty good shape. He's like, yeah, you don't say that, though, because you don't want to say when things are good, because things won't always. it was a pretty good year. I think what Will wants me to hit on is I won the spring and fall walleye.
Well, there should be an asterisk on the spring one because I was at home with walleye talk. You know, my youngest son. I was at home with walleye talk, and I wasn't able to fish it. So there's an asterisk on that one.
You could put another one on the fall one, too, because you had to go bring...
Yeah, but I was never going to beat you. I mean, I might have said I was going to beat you, but I was never going to beat you.
Yeah.
If they weren't on my, you know, on some shallow rocks that I was fishing, I had no chance.
Yeah.
And they weren't there, so I didn't have a chance.
Yeah.
But I wasn't going to go hang out with you. I hate fishing next to you.
I know that. I know that. You like switch lakes now.
I will switch lakes if you're there. I won't fish the same area. I will go away.
It's silly.
Why?
Doesn't matter.
It's not silly. I can't stand it. I can't stand it, Dan. I love you as a person, but I can't stand to watch you fish. I mean, I'll fish next to you during jig season.
What about,
I'll put my nose right in front of your nose. All right. I will bump my big belly against you.
There was one trip where you were like summoning me over. There's so many over here. Just come over.
Did you do it?
I did. Then you gave me a bunch of shit because I ran into the reeds and busted them up.
Oh God. Yeah. Why would you go into the reeds?
I didn't see the reeds.
How do you not see the reeds? They're sticking up 4 feet out of the water.
I was looking at you.
But there were so many there. Yeah. I'll do that I'll do that in spring, but not right now.
Well, yeah, springtime bonanza last year. We had like pretty mediocre showing, really, me and Bob McCollum, but so did everybody else. So we went in and we were like, holy shit, we won. Bob caught more than I did that year. I think he had like 5 of the 6 fish on the card.
That's pretty doggone good.
Mm-hmm. And then in the fall, I fished with Austin Smith, which is a name you should all get to know.
Yeah, he's going to be somebody.
A big shot.
He's going to be somebody.
Yep.
Yeah, I look back and he's 22, 23.
Yeah.
And he's a lot better than I was at 22, 23. Mm-hmm. And I was doing this job.
Right.
And like, I thought I was a big shot then. This kid's a lot better than I was at that age. So yeah.
He's a real good stick. And I'd never fished with him before until we fished the fall bonanza together. And it was just, the plan was big minnows we were rigging big minnows. In shallow, which is kind of hard, like if
especially in the clear body water.
Yep, and like to rig them through weeds and stuff. Like it's not like I wouldn't trust everybody to, like for sure, do it.
You're
do
rigging $1.50 here. Don't mess this up.
Wasn't worried about that so much, but I remember very clearly. Like we just got there. I hadn't fished the spot in like 3 or 4 days. I was like kind of going there on a hunch that they were still up there, and drove it, and they were there. And then first pass, like, we're rigging these chubs with, like, a split shot rig. And, like, immediately he goes, like, we're, like, a minute into fishing together, right? He goes, oh, I got one going. And he said it with, like, such confidence. Like, he's for sure got one going. Because when you're rigging grass.
Right.
Like, if you've never.
A blade of grass can feel so tricky.
And a chub. Like, mm-hmm. If you're rigging a big chub, like, most people think they have bites when they don't have bites. But he said it, I'm like, God dang, I think he's got one going. And then he caught, the first one was like a 27 and a half or something. I'm like,
that's a good start.
This is going to be a good day. Good day. Having never fished with the guy, and he like, yeah. I was just like, I think we're going to be in good shape.
Just sticks him.
Mm-hmm. And it got complicated. We got in a little fight with a musky fisherman.
A local guy.
Local guy. Guy I see up there all the time. Usually, like, it's a hey, how are you? It was not a hey, how are you that day. Really threw a wrench in my plans. We've since made amends. But yeah, that was a good tournament.
So he did a clean sweep of the Bonanzas.
Yep. And then this year I got, what did I get, third or fourth? I think I got third this year in the spring one.
Yeah, you got third and I got fourth.
And Scott Carpenter, when he announced I was in third place, laughed his ass off. Dan got third.
To be fair, we also had the aim the next day.
Yeah, sure. Which I had, well, I think we both had very understanding partners. Like, we're going to...
Yeah, I fished with my dad, and he's just... We quit 2 hours early so we could have a burger and drink beer.
We're going to kind of try to win, but we're also, like, not really going to try that much. Good times.
But we also fished... Dan and I got a chance to fish the Cass Lake MWC again.
I had a pretty good time in that one.
I had a real good time in that one.
Yep.
And we thought we had... Well, we had a good plan. We really... I felt like this year more so than even last, or this past year more so than year 2021. And year 2021, we had a real good plan also.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt really strong about this. We've pre-fished together. You caught a big one. We had another big one on. We got lots of good unders. And it just didn't really come to fruition.
Yeah. We caught a bunch of fish, had a bunch of fish around.
Yeah. Our bobbers are always over fish.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty fun. It was like a fun tournament. And our weight was better than the year
prior. Oh, we had like 26 pounds.
Yeah. We had
which in years weight. Past is like third place.
Yep. But everybody else did real good too.
Everyone else did real good.
So I think that's like a thing you'll have to continue to think about is like, is fishing really good or are people getting better or a combination of both? The forward facing sonar, we're going to like, we'll hit on it multiple times probably and try not to focus on it too much, but like, people are finding fish that we didn't find.
Had no idea they were there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the guys who caught them were the guys who were pulling crankbaits, doing stupid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's what the good guys are doing.
Yeah.
Not pulling crankbaits, but fishing that same kind of stuff.
Yeah. I can't remember if it was a pre-fishing deal or during the tournament, but I caught one on this spot, and it had a steel leader with a jig. This fish had bit somebody else that had a, like, 8-inch steel leader with a jig attached to it. And I pulled that out of that fish. I'm like, this is a perfect, like, that person had, they are not doing very many things right, but they are...
Over a bunch of fish.
Over a bunch of fish that most walleye fishermen 3 years ago...
Had no idea about.
Would not even know about.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly that just means shallow.
That's it.
Shallow, doesn't matter the time of
year. Crummy stuff... Because you try to run anything on the bottom, it's crummy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're living in that.
Yeah, and they're shallow all year.
Shallow all year.
I think you can bank on that, that there are fish shallower than you think.
I would love to see, so maybe this year we'll get lucky, or maybe this year the conditions will be different. It won't be more of a late summer tournament, it'll be an early fall tournament, mm-hmm. you know, with the weather.
Sure.
Are those fish going to be there when the water's... 60?
It's a great question.
They so, might push deep, right? You mm-hmm. don't know.
I know one, like, real good walleye angler that I talked to after that tournament. He, like, wants them to be deep.
Right.
Because that pattern is, like, a little too consistent, and it's a little too easy to pick on them, you right. know? Like, you...
Well, you see how many people were in there doing those types of things all throughout that whole chain.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's rather consistent.
Yeah. Yep. And yeah. I think it's generally great because shallow fish are doing better through the catch and release process. And, mm-hmm. you know, even the big ones are probably living through most of the weigh-in if they're coming out of under 20 feet of water. And
right.
that's not historically what that tournament has been.
It's so. The opposite.
Mm-hmm. And there were some people fishing deep water on Cass last year, and I think they did okay. But
yeah.
I think
a lot less crowded than it has been in years past.
Right, yeah, you can choose some of those deep water spots and actually have some space to do it. But,
yeah, so we had 26 pounds or something like that, and yet again, we ended up in 17th place. 17th
place. It's my fourth time in 17th place in the Cass Lake MWC. What did we have in 2021?
Well, I think we had 19 pounds or 20 pounds.
For 17th place.
And 17th place.
So we were up 8 pounds?
Yep.
And good enough for 17th place.
17th place.
Yeah, that's all right.
That's okay.
We got this year. I'm looking forward to
it. But we still go into these tournaments thinking, yeah, we could. We'd probably just win this.
Right. This year I've tried to like reset my expectations. Like I've been aiming for top 10 in the big ones.
Great. We couldn't even do that.
No. That's a story for after the break. Mm-hmm. Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh yeah. We're good. That would have been a great rant to record, but there were too many bad words in it.
That was just us complaining about people taking for granted the luxury of how much work a guide actually puts in.
Yeah. If you're like an avid walleye fisherman who listens to this.
And you happen to fish in the boat with a guide, specifically us two.
Well, I was just going to say that like, if a good guide is trying to help other people catch walleyes, right? So mm-hmm. like a lot of our techniques are like through that lens. We can't do all sorts of crazy stuff because mm-hmm. the crazy stuff is generally kind of hard to learn.
For sure.
In a 4-hour period. Simple things work well for people who don't fish that much. So like, and that honestly, there's a lot of satisfaction that comes from the guide job because of that, right? Like
you get a lot of smiles, a lot of pictures.
And honestly, it's maybe better if people don't even recognize that part of the work, but like a guide's job is to help anybody catch a walleye, right? I had an 88-year-old guy in the boat one morning, and then in the evening, it was me and a 10-year-old. Those are very different experiences. Both mm-hmm. of them present challenges. Both of them present a lot of, like, satisfaction. But you have to, you don't have to, but if you are doing your job well as a guide, you are helping each individual person, like, catch a walleye.
Right.
And it...
It's hard.
Pretty hard.
It's hard, man.
Like, catching walleyes can be hard, and then helping...
There's days I don't think... I'm not going to catch a walleye today, right. But you're paying me to make you catch a walleye. I'm going to try it really hard, you know? I can't make it happen for everybody, but I'm going to do my best.
Yeah. Just, this is maybe like a little testimonial. That's what Will and I talked about for the 10 minutes that we took a break in between the last chunk and this chunk. Is not how to catch more walleyes for us specifically, but like the little things that go into helping other people catch them. I think that's a good guide. And we're pretty good guides. We get our ass kicked in tournaments.
Yeah, right. We do. We do. But we held our own this year in one of them.
Yep.
I mean, we did. I think we caught by far the... Well, I can say with certainty, we won off Partridge Point.
We won Partridge Point big time. Good. Yep. There were all sorts of people cheering us on.
They're like, oh, you'll win this thing. You're going to weigh nothing but 26 inches. As we had one in the boat.
So, yeah, we were very happy to hear that the AIM tournament moved there. Leech Lake... tournament to the second weekend of the season.
Yeah, which is great for us.
Yeah.
Like it made it where we wanted to do it.
Absolutely. We talked about that in like as soon as the AIM schedule came out that we were going to fish it together.
Yep.
And had a pretty good plan, pretty unique. Not super unique.
Well, I remember the talking about it. It's from opener on. It was like, okay, if your stuff doesn't work, Dan, we're going to go to my stuff. Which is 20 miles away. But Dan, if we don't get our six off your spot, we'll go to my spot. And we'll catch the same caliber fish.
We each essentially had like...
We were on opposite ends of the lake.
Yeah. But there is like... that one, we fished like a community spot. But there's like nuances to spots on mm-hmm. Leech Lake. In this little nuance, well, people knew about the fish we knew about.
A lot of people.
We were the first ones there, though. That was helped. Pretty nice. And then we had
kind of... One guy spot lock on it.
Yep.
And then another guy spot lock on it.
Mm-hmm. At that time...
we caught like... Oh, you go ahead.
Well, yeah, we whooped on them. We whooped on them right in front of the other boats fishing the same spot. Mm-hmm. And initially we did it with a jig and a minnow.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of thought that the jig and a minnow wasn't going to work because it hadn't worked super well under...
And it did work, but not on the right fish.
Yeah.
It filled our card immediately.
Yeah.
I think we had her filled in 7 casts.
Yeah.
On a six fish set?
5.
Okay, so in 6 casts, we had that sucker filled.
Yep.
But they were all 19 inchers,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it felt good. It was a good way to, like, warm up to, like, okay. You know, in a tournament, you go, like, 45 minutes without a bite, and you start rethinking your whole life.
I'm chewing a hole through my cork of my rod.
But a jig in a minute was not how we thought we were going to catch big ones.
And we were right.
We were right. But we had even put down the thing that was catching.
Are we going over?
We're good.
Okay.
We even had... Like, I had started with... You'd started with jig and a minnow. I'd started with what we thought was going to catch big ones, which was...
A secret.
And I had put it down because you caught, like, 4 and 4 casts.
Yep.
And then... So then we did a jig and a minnow thing for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then we switched back. You switched back.
So we moved schools. We got off that school, I believe.
Of 19 inches.
Of 19 inches. Yes. Because that's all that was... I felt that was all was in there, and mm-hmm. I think that's how you felt.
Yep.
Like, we got to get out of here. So we moved 11 and a half feet. Yeah. And they're like, oh, there's another school of fish.
Yeah.
And I believe we caught a couple more on a jig and a minnow.
Yes. And then I fouled my big fish bait.
Yes. And then I happened to have one.
Mm-hmm. Picked it up. 27 and a half.
Yeah. That felt pretty good.
First cast.
So interesting about that, and I don't think any other person on that spot had figured that out. Those fish were certainly tracking that bait. Everyone else was doing forward-facing sonar. Let's put this bait in front of this fish's mouth,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't want that.
Nope.
But if a thing was moving, if it got to chase it,
and maybe chase it like 50 or 60 feet.
Right.
Because we were like pitching at the school.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not getting...
And there wasn't fish in between us.
Uh-uh. Nope. There was no fish at 20 or 30 or 40 feet. There was fish at 50 or 60.
Right.
And we'd pitch at that school, and then we'd get bit 20 feet away.
Right. You know, on these baits, your line angle would change.
Yeah.
So it would change from being a long line to a short line.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as that happened, there's one.
Yep.
Got him.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty neat. We got to feel really pretty neat. Clever. And
if that tournament ended at 8 o'clock, son of a bitch, we'd have won that thing. But turns out there are 8-hour tournaments.
Yep.
And we didn't win.
No. We got 11th place
mm-hmm.
out of a pretty hard field. Like, I'm pretty proud of the 11th place.
For sure.
There was a lot of good fishermen in that one. It's a 100-boat field. And, yeah, it's you're left wanting because, like...
And with our successes, there were also mistakes. Yes. There was 2 mistakes that I felt we made, and I don't know if we would have made the right decision. Even I don't think we make that right decision even afterwards.
Yeah, it took like, well, I'm not sure what your mistakes are, but one of my mistakes is not fishing a buoy.
That's one.
Yes.
The other one ended up we spooked at school. There was a pot of 6, and we should have slowed down.
Yeah.
And I would never, ever, ever slow down ever in my life. I have never slowed down in my life.
Yeah.
But that's a regret of mine. It was we should have went through the progressions before we went, okay, let's just go hog sticking.
Yeah.
And we should have threw jig in the middle at those. We should have maybe threw a bobber at them.
Mm-hmm.
And then went to our big fish bait.
Yeah. Because the big fish bait is like... Either
pretty blow them up-y.
Or blow them up.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then, yeah, the buoy. But that's like a hindsight thing.
For sure.
We know a nice one came off that buoy around when we were there. And there were some, like, boat manners going on, which, like, I think is important.
Mm-hmm.
But
if we were jerks, we caught that fish.
Absolutely.
But the problem
not
is...
Not even jerks.
Just a little too unaggressive.
Yeah, and it was also like...
It's a buddy of ours.
Yeah. It's hard because tournaments are long, man. Like, you are... By 2 o'clock, like, I'm pretty well done with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm over it. And that's not the way you need to be.
Correct.
Because we needed a couple more pretty good bites. We had a pretty good card at that time, but we needed to be in it. We needed a couple more big bites.
Two upgrades.
Yep. And to do that, you like got to still care a bunch, and we checked out a little bit. It's hard not to check.
Well, we fished hard, but we didn't fish with the same dedication as we did in the beginning.
Well, yeah, and like the thoughtfulness, right? Like you brought it up. Like there's the like getting after the physical part of it, right? Like making sure you're like really putting your bait in front of fish all the time, all that stuff. But like the thoughtfulness about like recognizing like, oh, that's a shallow group. We haven't fished these ones before.
They haven't been fished.
They haven't been fished yet. They're pretty nice. Like we made all of those acknowledgments. And then we just sort of like
blew them
bulldogged
up. Blew them up.
And like stuck one and it came off.
Yeah.
And then they were gone.
They were gone.
Because we stuck them with the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm. But really, I'm so happy that I got to fish in the boat with you. I wouldn't have done that well by myself. I was very thankful to have a friend as high quality as Daniel Paul Ryan.
Thanks, buddy.
The sixth.
The third.
Oh, sorry.
No other Pauls either. I'm the third Dan Ryan.
Mm.
But no other Pauls. Break?
Yeah.
We are 46 minutes in.
Feels great.
A third of the way. We're doing a Joe Rogan podcast.
I feel like we're reading one of the Lord of the Rings novels.
So yeah, 11th place in the AIM. Feeling good about that.
Cash a check. Went to a weigh-in that I guess we didn't need to go to.
No, but my kid had a great time.
Well,
brought Graham with.
And it was a good time.
Yeah.
He got to let all the mosquitoes out.
Yeah. Did you hear him talking when they were doing the weigh-in?
Mm-mm.
He was sitting by me and he was saying, so you're going to win this, right, Daddy? And like they'd already announced like what they'd announced. Like no, we're not winning. He's like, but you're going to win the tournament, Daddy? I'm like, no, dude, we're not going to win.
Not even close.
We're hoping to do like okay. And then he's like, I think you should not catch so much so that these other people can catch walleyes too, Daddy.
You should talk to these other people, Graham. Well, this is the second year in a row that Tyler Walden has won it.
He like whomped him too. He won by
away.
Like with 8 pounds more than Tom and Nate.
When you have a couple 30-inchers, that's
crazy.
Helps.
Crazy.
That helps. So. Mm-hmm.
And then 2 weeks later, we had a great spring. Like we knew it going in that, you know, fishing's always like a bunch of fun. But
we were banging on them pretty good.
Yep. The first week was okay. Better than last year for me.
Oh, well, it's because you stayed down south. Yep. I was living my best life up north.
Yep.
In fact, I saw you up there a couple times.
I had to go up there. Got out of my comfort zone. But then we had the walleye bonanza the second week of the season. That following day after the bonanza, we had the AIM. Then Memorial Day weekend is always super fun. Fishing's great.
Mm-hmm.
And then first week in June was the Leech Lake Classic,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was like generally a pretty great, a pretty well-run tournament. They're like trying to iron out the goofy things that happen with the way they run it.
Yeah. So they do it through the Fish Donkey app.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a bit cumbersome, I think, just because it has to go through one extra channel.
Yeah. And the app thing is a little goofy. Mostly, I think they should. It should just be a big fish tournament, dude. I think
that way people are stretching their fish as far as they can
make
go.
Them catch the biggest ones you can. Mm-hmm. And I think most people will be happy because on Leech, like, your smallest ones are going to be 18 inches long. It's not terrible, right? Yeah. You're not, like, struggling to catch a weighable fish, right? Like, which you could on Cass. Like, Cass Lake, you could be like catch a pile of walleyes and they could all be like 13, 14 inches long. That's not going to happen on Leech. But there's some complicating things when you have a catch photo release tournament and you want five of them to be under 20.
And that's new this year too, because it was two bigs last year, I believe.
No.
It wasn't? Mm-mm. Oh, well then never mind.
Yeah. One big, five under. And that's a lot of fish to say. Yeah. I think they could just make it easier on themselves if it was a big fish tournament. Happy to do it either way. But
yeah.
More and more I'm thinking it. Just go try to catch a bunch of nice ones.
The obvious problem with that for us is that if you have a live weight, our fish are bigger. But our fish don't grow as long. You know, we don't get 2 30-inchers off of off of Bear Island.
No, we do not.
That's our disadvantage. Now, we could go play ball over there. We could spend some time and do that. But that's our disadvantage, and it's not going to change.
No.
They're not going to turn it back to a live weight tournament.
Right.
So we just got to go with the flow. Because we can do it. There's a top five weight on the main lake without question. It's just what we get.
Yeah.
I don't disagree that it should go to just big fish. It'd take a lot of the controversy out of it.
Mm-hmm. And I think if you polled the fishermen this year, after a pretty great year, fishing was great for the Leech Lake Classic.
Right.
Everybody was catching them everywhere, that they'd be, like, okay with it, right?
Right.
Yeah, I think it would just simplify things. And maybe me, this is just me, because I just, like, screw up all the time choosing which fish to put on the card of the time.
Yeah, I don't know how you make the right decisions in the moment other than just luck, right? At that point, you're gambling. Because do you really care about 20th place? Not really.
Nope.
But you needed a real big one in order to climb.
You care about 20th place if you were going to end up in 40th otherwise, right?
Right.
You know,
right.
Just to, like, sort of, like, because there's a lot, and that's probably the... You just got to gamble, and the gamble is, like, maybe we end up, like, nowhere near the top, and it's sort of like, oof, that was a rough one. But
yeah.
The upside is you can't be in the top 10 there without a real, real big one
right. And
really nice unders.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have a real, real big one and you think you want to be in the top 10, you probably got to not take a picture of that 25-incher. You got to
right. Just
let it go.
But if we had – so Mark and I had 2 25-inchers, we were in the top 15 – but we didn't have those, so we didn't have the same. You and I had different challenges, and it was unfortunate. And next year it won't be a problem. It just won't be a problem. Well, I'll make it that way. But we fished the same spot. We didn't fish the same area, but we fished the same spot, and that hurt both of us. Without question, it hurt both of us. We had really great unders. Our smallest under was like 19 1/4. For the 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't catch a big. You guys had awesome bigs. Well, not awesome bigs, but you had pretty damn good bigs.
Yeah.
And you had some upgrading to do on your unders.
Right.
Both spots had different qualities. Ours had great unders. Yours had great bigs.
Right.
We should have just flip-flopped. No. No, I went and tried to corn cob your spot, and it didn't work out for me. But...
I felt like you were, like, maybe a little too polite on day two, though.
Oh, we were getting the heck out of there?
Day two, you didn't even go look at him.
I wasn't gonna.
Yeah.
We were out of there. We had big aspirations.
For what?
Well, we were gonna go chase a giant, and then we never ended up going there. We got sidetracked.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, I think we ended up in like 50th place or 55th place or something like that. We had 20 pounds both days or something like that. So we had like low 40s.
Sure.
And you guys ended up quite a bit ahead of us.
We were in 34th.
Yeah.
With
like 44 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep. Yep, and some just logistical problems with.
But on day two. You guys had a 26?
First big one was a 26, and it came on a jig wrap, and it came off of the jig wrap at the net, and that jig wrap, like, whizzed by Matt Holmgren's eyeball, and he just steely-eyed dug in and caught that 26.
No, he didn't.
Yep. It was pretty, like, we were pretty pumped at that point, because, like, you have accused me of not being a very lucky.
Generally, you're not in the derby.
So, we're like, pretty good luck, right? Got that thing in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then we caught a 26 1/2 and didn't weigh it. Then we caught a 26 3/4 and didn't weigh it. Then we caught a 27 and didn't weigh it. So we ended up with that 26. Had that thing just come unpinned like a half second earlier, would have had a bigger one on the card.
But would that have really helped you?
I don't know. Half, what's a half an inch for a 26 inch or half a pound probably?
Probably.
Yeah, we had a great tournament. Lots of fish caught, and 34th place, man. Chuck Hassey is the man when you're talking about a
tournament on Leech.
A tournament on Leech Lake. The guy is a wizard.
He is.
He's real good. Nothing you can say or do about it.
Nope.
Just try to get better.
That's all. Yeah. And you're not going to win it his game. You've got to figure out a game that's going to beat his game.
It's pretty hard to do.
That's really hard to do.
Especially with the current format. Because
I feel like I'm playing checkers and he's playing chess.
Well, we talked about it, I think, last year or the year before. Maybe we didn't talk about it. So you can, like, have... The analogy I've been using is like a perfect game with the way they have that system set up. Mm-hmm. You get one big and then five under 20. And if they're 19 and three quarter, they count as a 20 incher. That's a perfect under. So Chuck had five 20 inchers on day one and a 30 incher. You cannot beat that.
You can't beat that. You
can't beat it. So.
Yeah. I don't know how. You can't beat that.
There would be more room for beating
if they were all bigs.
All bigs.
Yep.
Right? Because you could catch 526ers might be pretty good.
But a guy who's pretty close to us, he got second place. Mm-hmm. Old Redbeard.
Yep.
But he did the exact same program as Chuck Hassey.
Gotcha.
And that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, he gave him a run for his money.
Right.
Yeah, he was in the lead on day one. Redbeard was.
Till when?
On day one.
He was not in first place on day one.
Yes, he was.
No.
Who was in first place?
Chuck. Chuck had a 30
and no, he was points. In second place. He was in second place.
Really?
Redbeard and McCabe were in first place. And then they slid down to second.
Hmm.
Which is, I mean, kudos to you guys. Because he was in first and then the other Dan Lavrenz was in third.
Was he really?
Yes.
Where did he end up?
Not top. But he won big fish for the tournament. He had a 31. Something like that. Hmm. Cut that up for over... Oh, no. I can't tell.
Let's take a break.
Okay. So we're probably... It's been about a month since we fished a derby. And we've just been grinding. I mean, we've been going pretty much as hard as we can go... Since that, well, yeah, from the Derby on, we've been just guiding like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
What's been happening in that last month?
Well, Leech Lake has been just like generally the place to be, I would say.
Well, before we talk about that,
okay.
Can you just shamelessly plug what your morning routine is?
My morning routine? Well, I'll skip like a couple steps.
Please do. You get in the truck and you leave the Ryan residence.
Mm-hmm. Go to the one stop in Longville. Make sure that Warrior 2090 is filled up with gas.
Well, that Suzuki, that doesn't suck that much gas.
Not that much, nope.
And the surprising tank is
huge. The tank is huge. I have to like remind myself, like, this thing needs gas. You have to remember to put gas in there. And then I go buy Full Stringer Bait and Tackle and get some of the best bait in Minnesota. Bait is
fill up.
Bait is a pain
mm-hmm.
this year. And I don't... Like, people sometimes realize it's a pain, but, like, the fatheads are a pain. Sucker minnows are a pain. Like, there's some goofy stuff going on with
the things that should not be.
Mm-mm.
And we had all the shiners in the world this year.
Yeah, no problem.
And now we're complaining about this.
Yeah.
And usually it's the opposite problem.
Yep.
I'd much rather have it the opposite way.
Absolutely.
I can live without shiners.
Yep. It's hard to live without leeches, though.
It's really hard to live without leeches, especially for a month.
Yeah.
The month that we just went through is a hard one to live without them.
Yeah. And it was, it's a pain. Hard to buy bulk leeches anywhere. And, Longville's got
as good as it gets.
As good as it gets right now.
Yep.
I'm sure there's bait shops around, because it's so local based on the trappers. But, like, you and I personally know a very good leech trapper. Who I think I heard is maybe done trapping leeches this year.
Done. Yep.
That's concerning.
That's very concerning.
Yeah. So bait's a problem, but we've been lucky. We've been in good shape so far, and, they like night crawlers a lot from now until
That's the lucky part, mm-hmm. is if we go through a pound of leeches from here till, well, we need them, I'd be surprised.
Yeah.
Yep. And then I go to Pikedale Lodge almost, man, I was going to Pikedale Lodge every day for almost a month straight. I had 5 trips on woman, for the first like 5 weeks of the season. Otherwise, every one of them was out of Pikedale Lodge. And I love it. It's the best, like that is, I'm as happy as I can be. I was still
Dude, you taking, go there and you see either Zach or Carl.
Mm-hmm.
How can your life get any better?
Yeah, you can't.
They're two opposites though.
For sure.
Two opposite.
It's nice to have the variety.
For sure. But there's some mornings I'm like, can you please send Zach? But then I get back to the doctor, I'm like, Carl, where have you been my whole life?
Yeah.
Carl's a lot in the mornings though sometimes. Mm-hmm. I love Carl.
Yep.
But I'm not on the same level as him.
No. Yeah, and I like to, well, with little kids, I like to do my boat work. I like to get to where I'm going early, like 40 minutes before my trip starts. And then I like to do some of my rod work and stuff. And that's a little hard sometimes, depending on Carl's mood.
He'll jump right in.
Yeah, he'll be real chatty. I'm like, man, I just want to like not talk to anybody and tie 5 knots.
Takes you 40 minutes to tie 5 knots?
I like to take the 40 minutes to do it.
Sip a coffee in between.
Yeah, yeah. Tinkering. I like to tinker.
Mm.
It's hard to tinker with a toddler.
Boy, but Carl's got good stories.
He does.
Carl's got good stories.
But yeah, Leech has been great. I have not been... I mean, it's had its ups and downs, as they all do, but no complaints so far. And Woman Lake has like been pretty good to me last week, which is a nice time for it to be picking up. And
yeah, it gives you like an extra week of good fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Good fishing that's not
a week. Yep.
Incredibly difficult.
Yep. There is, you know, we're living through a time period where some of our smaller lakes that we have really banked on in the past, I think it'll be harder for us to have. They're not going to be as good.
Yep.
As far as like the overall outcome of a guide trip, which usually involves a fish fry, right? Like people
right.
want to put fish in the box, not just catch them and let them go. Two of them now are not down, but significantly different than they were when I started. And I used to like make hay on those two. So, and I'm fine with it. Like that.
And you can't even put that to fishing pressure. That's just natural change.
Mm-hmm.
Progression.
When you're dealing with a 1,000-acre lake, then things are going to go up and things are going to go down.
Right. Right.
There's just like no way that you're not going to get bigger peaks and valleys with a smaller body of water.
Mm-hmm.
But at
that point, you just rely on something else to make the fish dry.
Mm-hmm.
You have to.
Yeah.
But
I also think like Woman Lake is, I am pumped about fishing Woman Lake right now.
If they all bit, I'd be really pumped.
I think all you can ask for, though, is to be around a bunch of walleyes.
And there's not a more dense population of walleyes, except for leech, in this area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're absolutely right about that one.
Yeah. And then, yeah, we get...
And the size structure's fine out there.
I think
you know,
so.
You don't catch very many big ones.
No.
That's the one thing Woman Lake lacks.
Yeah. You're not going to get a, like, photo fish to save your day. Your day
right.
is going to be, like, based on catching, like, a handful of nice ones or a bunch of keepers.
A bunch of 15-inchers.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
You're not going to get one fish that's going to save your day. At least it's... If
At
it
least
is,
not
it's
a walleye.
It's going to be brown.
Right, right. Either dogfish or...
Yeah.
Or
State
smaller.
Record dogfish or state record
Dude,
smaller.
The dogfish in there.
Yeah.
What?
Dude,
There's not a better dogfish fishery.
I don't think there is.
In fact, I had a trip out there that got cut short because I got caught out in some very hectic weather.
Mm-hmm.
But the dude and I were talking, and he's like, I think I changed his perspective on dogfish.
Good.
So, yeah. Like, I preach this. Dogfish are great for panfish.
Sure.
If you want a healthy panfish population, you need to have a healthy population of dogfish.
Okay.
And I think he's on board with it. He's like, yeah, dude, I'm surprised how many big bluegills I catch just pulling worms around.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, thank a dogfish for that. Thank a dogfish for that. And he's like, really? I hate those things. I was like, let me tell you a story. I told him my spiel about him. He's like, oh, well, that's great. I'm still not going to bring him on my boat. And I said, you don't have to.
No.
Just don't beat him on the head.
Don't thump him and let him go.
Yeah, just don't beat him on the head. I mean, I know you're saving America, feeding an eagle. But just leave him be.
They do fine. The eagles do fine. Just drive Highway 5 between Longville and Hackensack and hit a couple deer. You're doing much better.
Yeah, I would be much happier if we hit a deer once a year than to kill 47 dogfish. All right? Woman Lake needs those dogfish. Plus, they're awesome to catch.
Super fun.
I caught one off Grassy like 2 weeks ago, and I set the hook way over here, and it swam all the way around the back end of my boat and onto this side of the boat. I still, until I started coming up and I started seeing the bubbles, I had no idea what I had. I was so pumped.
Could have been anything.
It could have been anything. It was just a really big dogfish.
Well, the question was the month, like what happened this last month, right? That's what you were asking.
Yes.
And fishing was pretty good.
Pretty good.
And it'll be harder, but it'll be more fun. Not more fun.
More satisfying. More
satisfying.
Catch, you know, you get a 6-pack of walleyes next month and you're coming, you're going to call me immediately.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll be like, dude, I just got 6 keepers off of so-and-so. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, you didn't. Shut up.
Yep. This is a fun time of year. I think for customers, like, maybe pick up on it that, like, we get, like, pretty pumped about a 6-fish day. You know, like, yo, come on, let's get after it.
Right.
I like it when like, on Leech Lake for the first 6 weeks of the season, I'm counting fish constantly. Like, it's in my routine to be counting fish. Like, I have to keep track of the number of fish, right? And then that starts to fade away, where you're like, well, I probably don't need to keep track, right? And then every once in a while, one of those days catches you where you're like, God dang it, I gotta start counting fish again. And sometimes you gotta pour them out of the live
well. There might be 10 in my box right now.
Right.
Where did this come from?
I'm gonna find out now before it like could get us in a bunch of trouble, right? So, sorry about all the walleyes flopping around on the floor. I didn't think this was gonna be a problem. But
you don't put them in your net?
Well, I throw them in the splash well.
Oh, you're not scared that they're gonna get out of the splash well? What if you have a really athletic one? Warm water. Thing just come out of a nice warrior live well, so it's super lively. It probably cut the hell out of your thumb coming out of there.
Yeah.
You're not afraid? That one's just like, I don't think they're good. I'm going to make it.
You only have to take like half of them out.
Mm.
Yeah. You take 5 of them out and then look in the live well and you can count 5.
They're moving way too much. You're going to make a mistake. You're not afraid you're going to make... Well, you might not make the mistake. Me, I know my intellectual capacity
that you can make a mistake.
I need to get at least to the 3 count in there. If there's a 3 count in there, I can handle that. 5 count, pushing it, man.
Just gotta do it like 3 times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4. I think there's 5 in there.
You think or you know, Dan. You think or you know. Well, the DNR don't care if you think.
Talk to Jackie about it if I get it wrong.
Yeah, we're very fortunate to have a game warden like Jackie. She's good.
She does a pretty nice job.
She does a very good job.
Yeah.
Yeah. What have you been doing? Have you been just bobber fishing? That's the thing?
I have been fishing a jig and a nightcrawler personally a lot. I think when they're eating crayfish, that they are up hunting down.
Yep. Rare occasion.
Yep. And the bobbers work not because of that. The bobbers work because you just like are putting something that's like a little too tasty close to
in front of them for a little too long.
Yep. And it does sometimes take a little too long. Like during the classic, Matt and I had 2 bobbers in like a group of 10 of them for 3 or 4 minutes. And we were like there was no wind. So, like,
you were certain.
There are 10 walleyes looking at 2 leeches, and they're not biting. And we did that for 3 minutes, and then both bobbers went down.
That's I think it takes one wrong decision by one fish to make them all hungry.
Screw it.
Yeah. You know what? I'm just going to eat it.
But the jig and a night crawler, I think, might sort of get them thinking about like how they're eating right now, mm-hmm. when the crayfish are molting.
Well, you think about how a nightcrawler sits too in the water. It doesn't just fall flat right away. That slowly comes down.
Wobbling a little bit. Yep. So I think the jig and a nightcrawler is working because of that, and they're going in and like pinning it near the bottom. The bite's like pretty, it's kind of goofy, you know.
It's like very unique to a nightcrawler.
Yeah.
It's almost, so not, correct me if I'm wrong, it's almost like they pick up a nightcrawler on a linear rig.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same kind of a bite.
Yep. And that's been fun too. I think if you could probably do all right with that. I don't think you could do as good with that as you could do with a slip bobber, but
a couple bonus fish.
That might not have been a slip bobber in something a little more active. If you're like doing a bobber thing, you can only get you can only get a couple bobbers on a group of fish, right? Mm-hmm. Two, maybe three. You definitely can't get four bobbers on a group of fish. And you have to be pretty lucky to get two groups of fish on a...
In the same area.
So generally, you're trying to get like quite a few lines right on the same group. And the having something to cast and retrieve goes well with that. So that's typically what I've been
doing. Damn it, Dan, I can't take it anymore. I've got to tell you a story.
All right.
All right. So I was coming up with, I've been thinking, I got lots of ideas.
Yep.
None of them are good, but I got one that might be pretty good. All right. So let me paint the picture. It's the middle of June. And these walleyes are biting. They're biting good.
I think it's early June.
It's maybe early June.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's for sure early June. It's like a few days after the classic. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, and I've got this idea, and it didn't work the first year, 3 or 7 I tried. But I, you know what? I thought about it. And you know what? These fish, they want to chase it. They don't want it in their face. They want to chase it. So I'm thinking, man, I'm going to do a drop shot, but I've got this all figured out. I'm not going to put a 2-foot lead. I'm going to put a 5-foot lead on it.
5 foot?
5 foot, I tell you. 5 foot. And I get this 5-foot drop shot out there, and I cast it out. And I'm not kidding you, I get one like the first cast. I'm like, my God, what have I stumbled onto? Not a week later, somebody sends me this video of that goddamn Tom freaking Boley. Tom Boley with a drop shot rig.
On Leaf Lake.
Well, actually, I come to find out he was on Mille Lacs.
Okay.
But I'm very certain I watched him film on the same spot, very same spot I'm drop shotting. The very same spot. And as I'm drop shot, I'm not whooping on him because I cast maybe 3 times a day. Mm-hmm. But I'm getting a fish or two every time.
Yep.
Even on those 3 casts, I'm getting 1 or 2 bites. And here comes TB. Out there, TB short for tuberculosis and Tom Boley. Is that
a coincidence?
Coincidence?
Yeah.
I think not. All right. So here I am. I'm holding my own with this whole drop shot idea. I'm feeling pretty good because, you know, it's new. It's fresh. It's a fresh idea.
Yep.
Feel like maybe I'm starting a little trend here. And the old TB comes out and he shoots the thing all over the interwebs. And now everyone's asking me, oh, you must have watched Tom Boley do that. And I'm sorry, but I'm going to have a brain aneurysm. You know, that little vein in my head is going to explode real quick.
I believe it.
All because this guy put it on the interweb. We could just keep this a secret. Keep this little secret between you and me, you know?
Yep. I was proud of you because I caught quite a few fish on it, too. I'm like, God, Will really figured it out. He added something to the arsenal. And then now come to find out you learned it from Tom Boley.
What? Beg your pardon.
I have all winter I was joking about crowdfunding a bare knuckle boxing match between Will and Tom Boley in the Pikedale parking lot, and it was perfect. He was fishing the lake opening week. Could have just had him drive down,
just tootle over.
Could have been like what was that show, Pinks, where guys would bet their cars.
Oh.
Like pink slips.
I believe they call it grease.
No, they bet their cars. You guys could just bet your boats.
Mm.
Yep. I was going to, the opening fight was going to be Carl and, I don't know, maybe a, but I thought it'd be a fun MMA fight, you versus, and you thought you could take him, but you were worried about your gas tank. You thought you'd run out of gas pretty quick.
You might. Yeah. It's because of, obesity. Yeah. I still got a lot of energy, but it's very short-lived. Very short-lived.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man. But that was the biggest downfall of my season, I think, so far. I mean, I've done pretty poorly in some tournaments, you know. But being outshone, being blocked out by the sun.
That's really, pretty much what it is.
Really hurt me.
But now you got your chance to set the record straight. Now people know that Tom Boley booked you for a guide trip. You showed him how to fish a drop shot.
That's hearsay. That's hearsay. It's your word against his word.
Now he knows how to fish a drop shot.
I don't even know how he does it.
I don't know either. I also lost interest in a drop shot when somebody said,
yeah.
Have you seen Tom Boley? Clayton Schick. Clayton Schick is my dude.
Is he actually? Where's he from?
He's from Canada.
Oh, yeah, eh?
Yeah. He's great. Real big guy. Super happy-go-lucky.
Woo.
Yeah.
Could get behind a guy like that.
Yeah.
The problem is he's fishing over a million fish. So where you drive, you know, 7 miles to get over, you know, like 15 of them,
mm-hmm.
he just, you know, goes out of the harbor.
Right. He's real good about it, though. If you haven't watched the Clayton Schick Outdoors video, I would watch
it. I'm going to. He's I haven't.
Big, happy-go-lucky Canadian guy who likes catching walleyes and is pretty good at it. And he likes, yeah, I think you would really enjoy him.
I'm going to watch him post-haste.
What else?
So what's going on with you for this week? Don't tell me yet, because we need to take a break. Dan, we're the week before 4th of July. So we're what? 15 days or 10 days ahead?
Yeah.
Of 4th of July?
Yep.
What's going on this week for you?
When we're done fishing, I'm going to go fish leech by myself and try to keep the walleye dream alive a little bit.
You going to check out Waypoint 5000?
Nah, no.
Not quite that far?
No. Everything I'm going to look at today is going to be behind Bear Island.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, bum, bum, bum.
And then I got a trip tomorrow on Woman Lake. Pretty excited about that one. I get, like, fired up when things might be kind of tough.
Because you can figure out a program.
But they might not be tough. They might be good.
They might be tough for 97% of people.
Who fish Woman Lake, yes.
But Dan Ryan might figure that out.
Yeah, and I might get 8 bites tomorrow.
That's pretty good.
I think I'm going to get, yeah, hope I get 8 bites tomorrow. Hope I can fish walleyes all day. Woman Lake also has all sorts of cool stuff going on. There's like a whole corner of the lake that you and I are pumped up about.
I'm very pumped out of it because it's all bonus fish.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, it's not like the typical weed bite where we're catching crappies or we're catching bluegills.
Who knows?
It's full of bonus fish.
Who knows what's going to be in there?
Bonus bite.
Yeah.
So I was in there like 2 or 3 weeks ago and I had just, it was cold front morning. It was terrible. I went in there looking for perch and these guys from Iowa, they just love northerns. And we filled out on northerns in like an hour. Like kind of by accident. It's kind of by default.
Great time.
Set the hook. Mm-hmm. And we had caught zero in the first 3 hours. All of a sudden we found this thing and it was just awesome.
Yeah.
It was like best bonus.
Yep. It's a perspective thing too. Cause like I fished with this 10-year-old kid 2 days. Last week, and the first day, it was an evening trip. So an evening trip, you start with your get a bunch of bites, mm-hmm. and then finish with your walleyes. Opposite in the morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we did the get a bunch of bites, and he caught like 5 northerns, a couple bass, some perch and stuff. And then we went and fished walleyes at the end for a little bit. But he doesn't know. He doesn't know that like walleyes are a pain in the butt to catch, right?
Right.
And we caught 3 walleyes. And then the next morning, we fished a morning, we started with walleyes. We caught 8 walleyes in an hour and 20 minutes. And then, because he was kind of running the show, we gave up on catching walleyes and went and fished for bites, right? We only caught like 2 northerns, and it was, yeah, that part. And he's like, I think next year when we come back with you, we'll just fish in the evenings, because in the evenings we did better on northerns. I'm like, dude, I get it. I get it a little bit.
But those northerns down there are not snaky in the slightest.
No, no.
Those are all plump.
Yep.
Very healthy looking pickerel.
Yes, for sure.
Very.
And we caught a couple walleyes out of there both days. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But it's funny because it's just in your head that, like, his uncle knew. His uncle's like, I think maybe a morning trip would be good.
Yeah, walleyes do get put on a pedestal, which we are undoubtedly a part of. Mm. But when you're talking about youth or people who don't get to fish very often, bites are bites and they're bites. Fun.
Don't you dare steal that from a kid.
Or somebody who doesn't do it all the time. Mm-mm. Fish are fish, and they all have a lot of value.
Yeah.
They all do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so thankful I get to be a part of that.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a time and a place to be walleye snobs.
Yeah.
And we're getting to the point where it's not worth it.
Nope.
And I want to go get those bites too.
Yep.
I want to see that kid laugh.
Absolutely.
I want to see that smallmouth jump 8 feet out of the air. I don't want to get it in my net, but, you know, because I won't catch it. But I want to see that happen without question.
Yep. Then I get to fish with Tori and Sally out of Pikedale on Tuesday. And then I get to fish another little lake that I haven't fished all year. You've been on it. And I'm pretty pumped about it. I know you like act like you don't like it that much.
I don't, because I'm bad at it.
Well, I'm excited to be out there.
You should be. You'll do just fine.
Very polarizing for me. But it's been one that really makes me look like a hero sometimes. And when nothing else is gonna. So excited to be there. Yeah, I think fishing's going to be good this week, man.
Yeah.
I might be wrong.
It's pretty fishy weather.
I'm about ready to be wrong, but
the big thing is we're post-cold front because it's 67 for the high today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to start warming up again after a big batch of storms. Yeah. Tomorrow might suck, but I think the rest of the week should be pretty good.
Yeah.
Consistent, and I think it'll be good.
Yeah.
I think you're right. The bugs are about to hatch on leech. Might happen today. If it calms down tonight, it'll happen.
Hopefully all those 4th of July tubers and skiers are just
so mean. Dude, I don't let the 4th of July guys get their time.
Yeah, they can get their time when the scuzz is on the water. Why not?
Ick.
Is it that much fun?
No.
Zipping around those wakes, hopping around on those boards, that much fun? Go ahead and do it in the scuzz. Okay.
They're gonna have to wear a face mask like you do.
I'm gonna be sipping a margarita on my 4 days off this summer.
If that's all we're allowed, I can't work off anymore.
All right, we gotta wrap it up. Last minute.
I would invest heavily in the Nightcrawler business. And I'd also buy yourself some jig wraps. Those are, if I'm coming up for the next foreseeable future, for the next 6 weeks, there's going to be a staple in my boat that's going to catch walleyes. It's going to be a Nightcrawler, and it's going to be a jig wrap.
I would agree. I think you should add a redtail or a creek chub to that list, too.
Yep.
We're entering that season. I don't know what those are going to look like. Right now, town is okay with them.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be okay all year. And I kind of think, like, the lake that you snagged a bunch of them on.
Yeah, they want a red tail real bad.
I think so.
I thought that the entire time.
Yep.
Like, if a guy just pulled a red tail around, he'd probably catch all of these.
Yep. That lake in particular, for some reason, they really like them.
I think it's just because they're plus-size fish.
Yeah. They're all like 18 plus out there.
Right.
And yep, I'd have some big minnows if you have the ability to like keep them alive. But I just talked to a guy, Ken, if you're listening, I fished with him today. He's an avid listener.
Well, used to be.
Used to be. And he was talking about he brought jigger apps to the boundary waters. And, oof, like, whooped on them, I think. I'm like, that is the boundary water. I mean, you're going to lose some because right, that's real snaggy stuff.
But it's
like,
all big shale rock, right?
That might be all I bring up there if I go up there. Why, like,
better why not?
Than any of the other BS. Yeah. And
dude, I bet a bento minnow would work super good, yeah, too. Yeah,
probably.
Yep. And that's real, less snaggy.
Yep. And you could probably use the real stupid colors like pearl white and stuff.
Dude, pearl white is maybe the third best color.
Stupidest color.
It's maybe the third best color, even on the 4-inchers. Like, legitimately is the third best color. All right. Parrot is by far the worst color. Of that color scheme, parrot is the worst.
You think so?
Yeah, it's way too dark. It's way too dark.
I like the dark ones.
You're out of control. You are out of control, Daniel Paul.
What else was I going to say? Oh, just about our businesses. If you're at all curious, like, we are both guiding full-time. We would love you to call us.
Yeah.
And see if we can take you fishing.
You can get a hold of me. My name is Will Neuer, and I have a website called longvilleguide.com. And you can get a hold of me there.
My name is Dan Ryan. My website is Dan Ryan Guide Service. Just Google Dan Ryan and not the highway in Chicago.
Is there a Dan Ryan Highway?
Oh, yes. Apparently, it's terrible.
Really?
Terrible highway.
Full of potholes?
Oh, I think traffic and crime.
Oh, the good things to be remembered for.
But apparently, Dan Ryan was like the only not crooked Illinois politician.
Well, he must have been pretty crooked if he had a road named after him. must have paid somebody off.
But yeah, we would love to take you fishing.
I want to take you fishing. My July is fairly open, so if you're coming up in July, get a hold of me.
Yeah, and we hope to do this again. No promises, but we're...
This one felt good.
It felt pretty good. Nice and quiet around here. No kids.
And we just got done putting maybe a record beat down on them in June.
June, this is maybe going to be the best one.
Ever.
If it gets any better, I'll be awfully surprised and happy. Yeah. This was one heck of a...
It was a good June. Year. So. Yeah. Thanks for being a part of this, guys, and yeah, we really want to do it again.
Yeah.
Nope. No guarantees, but we really want to do it.
We'll see you next time.